Good morning, Wake Up HCC. It is Chris Oviedo, and I have a special guest in studio today. And as you can see, I'm kind of like still figuring out what I'm doing here. I was getting carried away because I have a really, really cool conversation in store this morning. I'm excited to have it. I usually just listen to my guest when she comes in and records her show with her partners from HopeWorks. And they talk about healthy relationships, and they talk about, you know, what it looks like, what it feels like. And I'm always just sitting here and listening, and I'm like, I want to say something. And today is my chance. I actually get to say something today. So welcome Maya Carey. She is the volunteer program coordinator at HopeWorks. Thanks for coming. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. I didn't help out on our podcast this month, so I'm getting my little my radio time.
Your radio time. There you go.
So I guess let me start off by just saying a little bit about what HopeWorks is. So HopeWorks is Howard County's Intimate Partner Violence, Sexual Violence, and Human Trafficking Resource Intervention and Prevention Center. That's a mouthful.
Yep.
So basically, we provide services for Howard County. We serve clients of all different types of gender and sexual violence. Mm-hmm. We have a safe house shelter, so a residential program that helps house people who are in crisis and who are transitioning out of crisis. We have a legal department that helps people maneuver through the peace and protective order process, and which is a really big deal. So we have volunteer advocates.
That sounds like another conversation its own.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And then we have clinical therapy. So we do group and individual therapy. We have a new human trafficking department that focuses solely on the survivors of human trafficking, both labor and sexual trafficking. And then I work in the community engagement department.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot.
We do, yes. And CED is a lot. So we do all of the prevention education. We work in the schools. We have a volunteer program. We have long-term survivor programs. So there's tons to do at HopeWorks.
You know, and we're talking domestic violence, and we're talking relationships. And you just mentioned schools, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, wait, but you guys are talking about, talked about survivors, you talked about legal stuff, you talked mm-hmm. about all of this grown-up things, mm-hmm. right? But yet you said we work with schools. It's mm-hmm. like, why are you guys looking at the schools? Why are you guys talking to the kids? Mm-hmm. Are they experiencing violence in their relationships? I mean, mm-hmm. Let's shed some light to that, because I think that there's a lot of misconceptions and misunderstandings. And we think that domestic violence only happens between couples, you know, grown up couples who are married at home. And we usually generally think about it as male, female relationships.
Right.
And, you know, that's the idea that we generally see portrayed on TV mm-hmm. and we think of when we think of violence. But you just mentioned schools. So, mm-hmm.
yeah. So one of the biggest aspects of what we do in my department is working with schools. So we look at primary prevention, and the way that we think about that is preventing violence before it happens. So what we have to do is start young, start having conversations with middle schoolers and high schoolers about what type of relationships they want to have in their life, what a healthy relationship looks like, how to have healthy conversations and talk about your wants mm-hmm. and needs in a relationship. And so we do a lot of educational programming. We have girls groups. We do that type of stuff. But our main idea is that we are starting the conversation young, because most kids, by the time that they reach 18, 20 years old, maybe they've been in one or two relationships, but they don't really have a good basis of a healthy relationship to base them off of. We see, especially with the in the light of social media and just all of this focus on like celebrities mm-hmm. and these idealized pictures of what a relationship is, we don't get a good picture. So we're having these conversations at a young age because we want to prevent violence from happening. We want to make sure that kids understand their role in supporting other survivors. Mm-hmm. And also understanding that a lot of kids have faced violence, whether it be family violence at home, whether it be child sexual abuse, or whether it already be dating violence.
And that's what I want to talk about a little bit, because, you know, domestic violence, you know, as you said, child abuse and all those other ones, as I said, those are shows on their own. And I know you guys have talked about it in your podcast. Maya is also part of our podcast here, Transforming Together with Hope Works. And you guys can go back and listen to the episodes that they have on this subject. But and I know you guys have talked about dating violence before. But Valentine's Day is coming. There's a lot of pressure that we put on ourselves. And I guess kind of society, although that I do want to say that I give a shout out. I've seen this idea of just friendship, like friendship day, and, you know, go come with your friends, come with your girls, come with your guys. Like I'm seeing a lot more of that, and I'm really appreciative of that, because I feel that it's taken away that idea that you have to have a partner for Valentine's Day, which was the message for the longest time. But yet, you know, we're still just breaking that myth, right? We're still working on making that better. So there's still a lot of people who feel pressure of like, oh, what am I going to do this Valentine's Day? I'm going to be by myself, and they feel bad, and this and that and the other. And many times you jump into a relationship just because you don't want to be alone, you know, and for our kids, I know that they're just figuring themselves out. I have a couple of teenagers, and those are the conversations that they're hearing from their friends that are happening at school.
It's like you need to be in a relationship. It's like if you're not, if you haven't dated someone by the time you graduated high school, like, you're never going to find someone. If you haven't lost your virginity by the time you left high school, it's not going to happen for the next 10, 15 years.
Exactly. And so, you know, they have all these pressures. And as we said, they're just trying to figure out themselves. So I imagine how deep that is, you know, for them to feel and experience that. So that's kind of what I wanted to talk about for a short period of time. We only have 30 minutes, and there's a lot that I want to unpack today. But, you know, the kids' relationships and dating violence, because for me, the first time you guys brought that concept to my mind, I was blown away. I didn't think it happened, because it was not part of my reality growing up. Maybe I just didn't know about it. Maybe my friends never shared anything like that. But I'm coming to find out now as an adult that it did happen. You know, I never experienced it, so I never thought it possible. I thought when you are a teenager and you're dating somebody, it's kind of like that happy relationship, like, you know, the love and the butterflies and, you know, all of that stuff that we feel, right? And all of that, that, now that I know it's hormones and that butterflies. But, you know, those kind of things. And that's my idea of dating as a teenager, right? And that's not true necessarily for many people. They're actually experiencing violence. So what does that look like for, you know, maybe our kids here at HCC, maybe parents like me who are completely blind to that idea that it happens amongst their teenagers? What does that look like? What should we be looking for? And what should we be telling our kids to look for in a relationship?
So when we're thinking about the aspects of an unhealthy relationship, we think about the aspects of an abusive relationship or an unhealthy relationship, we look at like power dynamics. But I kind of wanted to go back, because I think a lot of what love is perceived as is actually as possession. And so we think that if I, like, you own your partner, like, you get to decide what they do. Like, they have to, when you're in a relationship, you're the only person that they think of. You're the first person that they think of. And I think that's a huge misconception, because teenagers are getting into these relationships, and young people, adults, everyone's getting into these relationships, and they think that their partner has to be the end-all, be-all. They have to drop everything. They have to have everything in common with their partner. But in reality, you can't really have a healthy and balanced relationship if you're not also, you know, living your life outside of your partner. You don't have that freedom. What I like to think about in a healthy relationship is rather than you need to make me happy, it's the idea that I want my partner to be feel free to do what they want, to be happy. I want my partner to be happy, not for them to make me happy. So I don't know if that's a little confusing, but there's, I think it's relationships are, our ideas of relationships are really wrapped up in ownership. And so when we look at unhealthy relationships, we see people who are possessive. They are controlling what their partners do, who they see, where they go. Maybe they're using some type of stalker mentality, so checking people's phones, checking locations, having some type of control. Other ways that we see unhealthy relationships progress into abusive relationships is through this idea of, or through an act of isolation. So slowly and slowly, it might start off as well-meaning. I just want to spend all my time with this partner because I do have those butterflies. It's a new relationship, right? And you're learning to love this person. But if that person starts to constrict who you see, or it starts telling you that you can't see your sister because she doesn't want what's best for you, I want what's best for you, stuff like that should seem like it's red flags, because if you don't have your freedom in your relationship, then you can't really be free to fully love someone if you can't see the whole person, if that makes sense.
I love what you just said. If you don't have freedom in your relationship, you can't freely love somebody. And I love that you said that. But, you know, it and a lot of it, I think, comes from fear, right? Because mm-hmm. it's like, well, if I let them do whatever they want, then they're going to cheat on me, or they're going to find somebody else, or they're going to do this, or they're going to do that. Exactly. So a lot of insecurity, you know, and that's our personal insecurities that come into the relationship that mm-hmm. we bring there. So one thing I love to tell my kids all the time is, like, take your time to figure yourself out, you mm-hmm. know, like, take your time to really discover who you are, what you like, what mm-hmm. you don't like, what you bring to the relationship. Mm-hmm. Don't, as you were saying, don't look for that other person to complete you, because you're not incomplete.
Yeah, you're a whole person. Mm-hmm. I was reading something last night. Instead of thinking about a relationship as 50-50, mm-hmm. think about it as 100-100. You're not half of a person. You're not looking for, we're not going back to a place where, like, you're half of a person. You are a whole person. You have a life. Mm-hmm. You have friends. You have community. You have wants. You have needs. Another partner, your partner or partners, should be complementing that. They should be filling a part of you that maybe you're yearning for, but that doesn't mean that they're your whole person. Right. You're the only thing in your life that you care about. And I think when it comes to relationships, our idea is that, you know, you have to work hard for love, and that you have to, love is supposed to be painful, because if it's not painful, then it doesn't really count.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have this mentality of no pain, no gain, mm-hmm. right? And that not only at the gym, right, where you go and work out, and I'm learning through yoga that I'm just recently doing, they're like, that idea of no pain, no gain, no. They're mm-hmm. like, if you have pain, you got to stop and you got to bring it back, because that mm-hmm. that's your body literally telling you mm-hmm. you're doing a little too much, I'm not ready for this. Mm-hmm. Bring it back a notch and we'll get there, yeah. you know, with self movements and stretches and mm-hmm. this and then the other. So maybe we can translate that into love as well, right? Yeah. Where if there is pain, it's not that you have to learn how to deal with pain. It's actually that you want to step away from pain mm-hmm. because love should not hurt. And, you know, I want to bring this up because usually the way that I process things, right, is like, if there's pain, I go back and I look at myself mm-hmm. Before I look at the other person. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, so why is this hurting, right? Why am I, what am I interpreting from it? Mm-hmm. How am I taking it? And is it really coming from one of my insecurities? Is it really coming from mm-hmm. something that I still have inside of me? Or is it really, you know, coming from outside, right, what I'm getting from this relationship. So is that a healthy pattern? Is that something healthy that people can and maybe should do? You know, mm-hmm. look at yourself first mm-hmm. before you look at your partner. Yeah. To just figure out, as we were saying, you know, if we are that whole person, and maybe, you know, and let's, I mean, we're not perfect, right?
And that's, and all of these emotions like jealousy, insecurity, mm-hmm. those are natural human emotions. Right. That's not necessarily saying that there's something horribly wrong in the right. relationship, but
or that you're bad.
I think it's really hard because we are adults. Right. Our prefrontal cortexes are fully formed mm-hmm. at this point. And so it's hard for teenagers and people who are going through puberty to really take that deeper dive. Yeah. And I think that's why it's so important to talk to them young. Mm. Because if you can get them to start thinking about their emotional intelligence and how they can bring that into a relationship, mm-hmm. then you know, we could prevent so much abuse from happening, because it happens on both sides, regardless of what's happening in a relationship. And so there are oftentimes in an unhealthy relationships, it's both people or all parties have this fake idea of what love is. Mm-hmm. And so I think taking a second to like think about your insecurity, like if you're jealous of your partner, think about like, well, am I jealous because I'm insecure about what they're doing? Am I jealous because I don't want them to cheat on me? Have I communicated what I'm feeling, or am I just guessing what they're thinking? Am mm-hmm. I, you know, we put ourselves into this place where like our anxiety rules everything, and that's natural sometimes. But at the same time, we need to do what you said, which is step back and think about like, why am I feeling this way? Mm-hmm. And if you are having a certain feeling and you don't know how to articulate it, talk about it.
Right.
Because it's not inherently a bad emotion. It's a human emotion.
Right. Yeah. And one thing that I love to remind myself of is that many times we live most of the time of our lives in the stories that we've made in our head, mm-hmm. that are totally not, you know, not true whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And when we talk to our partners, you know, because in our head, in our story, we are making up both parts of the story, right? My right. part and my partner's part. Mm-hmm. Well, if I just allow my partner to create their own part and tell me, you know, what their reality is, mm-hmm. then I'm better equipped to really understand if this relationship is right for me or not. Mm-hmm. And to understand, you know, as a young person and as an adult, really, because mm-hmm. you love somebody, you care about somebody deeply, to be able to have that maturity to say, you're not able to offer me what I need, mm-hmm. it's a huge thing.
Or that I'm not able to offer you yeah. what you need. And sometimes we need to be real with ourselves and step away from a relationship, and that's love. Mm-hmm. Loving someone is knowing when to step away. Loving someone is knowing when to put yourself first to leave a relationship or to stay in a relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what true love is, and there's so many definitions of love, but when you put yourself first, when you think about the happiness of your partner and the happiness of you, you're doing that love work. Mm-hmm. I just think it's really hard for young people, especially when it's their first or second relationship, right. to put those things into context, because what do we see? We see this intense passion,
right.
and that passion is the only thing love is. And if you lose that passion because you've been dating for 2 or 3 years and right. it's not the same in the first 6 months, mm-hmm. Then I don't know, people just go haywire. They start building these insecurities, and I think that's where mistrust comes in. That's mm-hmm. where jealousy comes in oftentimes. And I just think it's hard, especially because the way that young minds are still growing. Mm-hmm. Even at 23 years old, my mind is still growing. And right. we don't really reach full adulthood until we're in our like mid-20s, 30s.
I know.
So yeah.
I just became an adult.
Yes, you did. Congratulations.
You know, one thing that you talked about at the beginning, and I want to go back to that, is this idea of possession, because I think that really comes into play. Mm-hmm. But it shows, or at least is portrayed, generally speaking, as romanticism. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had very successful movies, books. One that comes to my mind mm-hmm. is 50 Shades of Grey, mm-hmm. where there was a lot of unhealthy stuff in those mm-hmm. books. And yet we were all falling for it because we were interpreting it as romanticism, mm-hmm. right? In the end, I think that Christian Grey, who's the main character of this trilogy of books and movies, I don't know if mm-hmm. all the movies came out or not, but anyways, I think at the end, towards the end, he does finally switch into a person who's able to give, I forget the name of the girl, a healthy relationship. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning, it's nothing like that.
Right.
Yet all these grand gestures and all these things that he was doing, mm-hmm. we were seeing them as ways of him showing his love and romanticism. Mm-hmm. So I want to unpack that idea of romanticism versus possession a little bit, because I think that we get very confused mm-hmm. with the two. And I think that they can look very much like the other, you mm-hmm. know, they can mirror each other very easily. So mm-hmm. how do we tell, and how can we really know when a gesture is romantic or when something is just, you know, because they're trying to own us, as mm-hmm. you were saying?
I think it's hard, especially because everything that we see is really, all the love and romance that we see in the movies is really a cloud of possession. It's mm-hmm. really hard to tell the difference. I think what's really important in understanding an unhealthy relationship is how often it happens. Mm. If you have a conversation with your partner and it was a one-time thing, you know, sometimes we get possessive. But if it keeps happening over and over and over again, that's a sign that something's wrong.
Right.
So...
And I love that you said that and made that, because it's okay. And that's, you know, that's part of the message that I want to make sure that people understand today. We all do it. You mm-hmm. know, we all do it. I mean, I've been there where I've been checking phones. I've been doing this. I've been mm-hmm. doing that. I've had those periods of insecurity. Mm-hmm. But as Maya was saying here, those are human emotions, or based on human emotions. And we, if we recognize them and we want to have healthy relationships, mm-hmm. because we love ourselves, because it hurts us when we're in that mode. Mm-hmm. It hurts us more than anybody else.
Right.
But it hurts our partners too, and it hurts our relationship. So mm-hmm. we realize it, we recognize it, and we step back from it, right? Because we understand that that is unhealthy.
Right.
That's okay. So it's okay if you've done it before. It's okay if you've, you know, if you had, as Maya was saying, you've had this one time where this person was really possessive and expressed it that way, but then you have this conversation with your partner mm-hmm. and you guys hush it out, and then it really changes, mm-hmm. you know, because I think that a key thing here for a healthy or unhealthy relationship is, as Maya was saying, you love yourself and you also love your partner. So you want mm-hmm. your happiness, and for you to be happy, you need to be free mm-hmm. and you need to allow that other person to have their space. Right. Right? And find that happy medium. That's mm-hmm. that's really what a healthy relationship, yeah. at least in my mind, and the best way that I can express it and understand it is, yeah. you know?
I think what's interesting about, like, possession mm-hmm. in relationships is, I don't want to go too deep into this, but I think possession in heterosexual relationships is really wrapped up in masculinity. Mm. Young boys are taught from a young age that, like, they need to, I mean, just historically, mm-hmm. women have been property. Mm-hmm. And so how can we expect, after decades and years, hundreds and hundreds of years of women being property, that it's just going to completely change?
Right.
You know, especially as we have parents of, like, families of multiple generations teaching their young boys about what love is. And so I think we need to step away from the idea that our partners are ours. Mm. They have wants, they have needs, and they deserve to be able to fill them outside of the relationship. And so I think people think that in relationships, you have to have the same, you have to have, like, mirror your partner. Mm-hmm. And in reality, that's not how humans work. We're all very individual people. And so once we get into relationships and we're like, we kind of walk around and we're like, yeah, this is my girlfriend, like, we show her off and everything. Yeah, that can feel really good, being the partner being showed off. But that also can be a sign that, like, there isn't that idea of, like, independence. It's mm-hmm. like a feeling of, like, ownership mm-hmm. almost. Mm-hmm. It's really hard for me to kind of conceptualize that ownership in terms of relationships, because mm-hmm. because it's so subtle.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's why I started saying they mirror each other so mm-hmm. perfectly. And many times we get them confused. Mm-hmm. So I think as you were saying, it really comes down to, how are you feeling with that? Right.
Yeah.
If you're comfortable with it and it's not hurting you mm-hmm. either emotionally, mentally, or physically, mm-hmm. then it's okay.
Like,
right?
If you're having a conversation about it, like, because there are a lot of people, I have friends who, I mean, having a possessive partner, not for me, mm-hmm. not for me. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of people out there who find it romantic.
Right.
And as long as they're continuing to have conversation about their boundaries and letting them know that, like, I'm still an individual person. You don't own me. I like that feeling of me being yours, but that doesn't mean that you own me. If like you're having those conversations, that's fine. Right. There's no one way to love someone.
Right.
But the key part is that open communication. Mm-hmm. The key part is understanding that you don't get to make the decisions for any person, any other person. Every person has the right to make their own decisions. Every person has their own emotional response, whether it be positive or negative. And it's our jobs as individuals to own that for ourselves and not force it on someone else, mm-hmm. or make the decisions for someone else. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one thing to go out to dinner and be like, oh, it's romantic. I'm going to order for my partner. You know, that's one thing. And it's another thing to be like, get to the point where you're controlling who they see, mm-hmm. and saying, controlling what they wear, controlling that type of stuff. You know, that's not cool, because we get to wear what we want. I get to see who I want. If you're uncomfortable, let's have a conversation about that. Unpack it, because that insecurity could be from something else and maybe you're just projecting it on me.
Right.
So there's a lot of different ways that possession shows up in relationships, but like, in a healthy relationship, there's that communication. There should be already that freedom to have those difficult conversations.
To express yourself, yeah. Absolutely, and express freely, yeah. Your feelings. And, mm-hmm. You know, relationships are complicated. I mean, at the end of the day, because as you were saying, there's people who, you know, like certain stuff in relationships, and they're okay with that. Mm-hmm. And as I said, I think that as far and as long as they're not hurting you, or your partner, and you guys have this mm-hmm. understanding within the relationship, then it's okay. You
and
know
it's
what
also
I mean?
Being mindful, like, about how, like, you can have these feelings in a relationship, but also be mindful about, where does this come from? Is mm-hmm. it, like, how has society warped my idea of how I form a relationship? If you can be mindful about that, or even just think about that once or twice, you know, you're doing that work. You're doing yeah. the work to make your relationship healthier and happier. But I think really possession and the way that we think about love is really culturally created. And at the end of the day, there is no one way to love. Mm-hmm. My way of loving may not match yours.
Right.
And that's okay. I'm not going to yuck your yum unless you're harming someone or you're being harmed yourself.
Right.
You know?
Right. Absolutely. So we have only about a couple minutes left here on our live show, Maya. And, you know, with Valentine's Day coming, I want to give this opportunity for you to maybe just give a message to everybody. Because this month, I think, brings up these idea for people who are single out there. And they're like, oh, my gosh, I'm single. I'm the one who's by herself now or mm-hmm. himself now on Thanksgiving, see, on Valentine's Day. Or people also who are experiencing other type of issues. I don't want to call it issues, but they have their own things to unpack. Like, for instance, same-sex gender couples who may not be open yet, right? And mm-hmm. and this is a tough date for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many, you know, people in violent relationships. I just want you to maybe invite them to take this opportunity of Valentine's Day, look at it from a different angle, yeah. and even come and talk to you guys mm-hmm. here at HopeWorks and just... just have those free conversations to put their feelings out there and have a safe place, really, mm-hmm. to talk to somebody who's going to be non-judgmental mm-hmm. and might even be able to offer some resources mm-hmm. to help them.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of issues with Valentine's Day. And I think that, again, our ideas of Valentine's Day is that we make these grand gestures. Maybe this is the 1 to 4 times a year that we do a grand gesture for our partner. We buy them flowers. We take them out to eat. We do this and that. We spend a lot of money mm-hmm. to show that we love them. And I think we need to rework that, because at the end of the day, Valentine's Day and this idea of love should also be completely absorbed into who you are. In the way that you should be loving yourself. Mm-hmm. You should be putting yourself first the way that you put your partner first. And so you said this earlier in the program, but there's been a rise of Galentine's Day, which is, you know, all your girlfriends kind of getting together, all of your platonic girlfriends getting together and you know, celebrating each other. Then there's Palentine's Day to include men and non-binary folks. And so I think that's a really good way to kind of combat this idea of mm-hmm. of romantic love as being the end all be all, because there's so many different ways to love
Absolutely.
People. We love ourselves, and I'm just such a huge proponent on the fact that we have family members, we have friends, we have community, and we can love them in so many different ways. We can have different types of love, a love that is caring, mm-hmm. a love that is deep, a love that is romantic, platonic, and it doesn't always look like one thing. And so I really want people to know that, like, Valentine's Day is for you, whether you're single, whether you're in a relationship, whether you're in multiple relationships. I think it's really important that, like, at the end of the day, broaden your idea of what love is mm-hmm. and bring that idea of love into yourself. Like, mm-hmm. treat yourself, you know?
Yeah.
If they're going to be having all these sales anyway, go take yourself out to dinner.
Take advantage of it,
you know,
right?
Why don't you spend a nice night in, light some candles, listen to some Beyonce, some Rihanna, and just enjoy your own company. Bring your friends out. Make a cheese board, you know? Like, there's ways to spend time together and value each other that are outside of that sexual romantic love.
Mm-hmm.
I think also this is probably a hard time for people who identify on the aromantic or asexual spectrum, because for them, love doesn't necessarily require a partner.
Right.
You know? And so understanding that love is expansive. There is no one way to love. And the most important part of love is loving yourself. You
right.
can't love a partner fully unless you're doing the work to focus on you and love yourself. Not saying that you have to love yourself completely, but if you're doing the work to, like, focus on your wants and needs first, or in this partnership, then you could have this fulfilling love. I also wanted to do a little quick shout out.
Sure.
So as you may know, HopeWorks had a youth leadership project, which is a group of teenagers who talk about social justice, love, relationships on a monthly basis. So part of their programming is putting on a workshop. So on February 15th, Valentine's Day weekend, we're having a workshop put on by the youth leaders, and it's all about self-love. So we're going to be making we're going to be making recycled art projects, having conversations about self-love, about the connection to the environment too. So if you want to know more about that workshop, you can find it on wearehopeworks.org/events. It's called Changing the Cycle. It's from 2 to 3 p.m. On February 15th at HopeWorks, which mm-hmm. is at the Nonprofit Collaborative. You can also email podcast@wearehopeworks.org to get some more information. But that's a really great event because we're taking the relationship, the sexual romantic relationship, out of this event and focusing on, like, what love looks like in the expansiveness mm-hmm. of it. And so I'm really excited because it's going to be led by teens who have such a different perspective on love.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not that much older than them, and they completely changed the game.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. Yeah.
I agree. So love yourself. As Maya said, you know, take the time to really just look at this date as an opportunity to look inside and love and show love to yourself. Take away that sexual romantic idea of Valentine's Day. And you know what? I mean, every day is,
mm-hmm.
you know, a day to an opportunity to show love to yourself
Absolutely.
And to everybody around you. So I think that if we make that our mentality, you know, Valentine's Day is going to come. And if we want to go out to dinner or do something like that, we can. But we are not going to feel that pressure. We're not going to feel obligated
mm-hmm.
to do something grand and special for mm-hmm. that one person that we feel is, you know, our lover mm-hmm. of our life, because we're doing it all other 364 days of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay to skip that one day.
Love yourself. Love yourself and love the people in your life. It doesn't always have to be romantic or sexual.
Not at all. Have a wonderful Wednesday, everybody. We will be back on Monday. And, you know, just love yourself and share it with the world. Have a good one.
Thanks for having me.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.